Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard here on this Friday night. All right, we'll get to NFL picks. We'll get to guess the takes here. But right now, one of my favorite things we do each week is dive into my favorite props for the Eagles game on FanDuel Sportsbook. So these are the best, what I would call the best, my favorite. I mean, there's so many you could dive into, but here are the ones I like more than any on FanDuel Sportsbook for the Eagles, Raiders, the props for Sunday. So this, I mentioned to Steve Fezzik when he was on with us a few minutes ago, the number has moved. It's now Eagles are 2.5-point underdogs. They were 3 earlier in the day. The over-under in the game is 48.5. All right, so I'll throw out my favorite props, and then we'll have Tucker tell me thumbs up, thumbs down, if he's on board with my prop selections. I got to say, I feel like I've done better with these than picking games last couple weeks, just in general, just picking these. I think last week, because the Eagles had already played when we did this, I think I hit 3 out of 5 just around the NFL. I did pretty well on the Eagles Bucks game last week with the props. So let's see if we could hit some more this week. First one, and it feels like it's becoming an easy one. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts +145 anytime touchdown score. He has 4 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. It certainly feels like Nick Sirianni has woken up and realized my best way of scoring within the 6-7 yard line is to just let Jalen Hurts run the football. I don't think that changes this week. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown score prop. Probably until I lose. It just feels like it's the right play these days.
He's
like
got 5 this year. I think he has 8 in his career and 10 career starts.
It's almost like Cam used to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Derrick Henry where it's an automatic. It's not a matter of if but when. But on a team that doesn't really have a lot of red zone options, it makes a lot of sense. And think about, like, he pretty much handles the ball the entire game, right?
Right.
It's like picking LeBron to score a point. It's going to happen.
Right. So I'm going Jalen Hurts +145 anytime touchdown score. I'm going to go under on Derek Carr's longest pass of 40.5 yards. The Eagles just don't allow big plays. I know Ruggs and Edwards are both averaging over 20 yards a catch, so it's a dangerous prop to take because all you need is one Ruggs play over the top. I mean, he's been getting these 20-yard catches every week. He's developing exactly what I think they drafted him to be, which is a deep threat. But 40.5 yards is a lot. I mean, if they're keeping things in front of them, which they've done all year, it's going to take a lot of missed tackles to get to a 40.5-yard pass or a blown coverage. And really, other than the Tyreek Hill touchdown against the Chiefs, they haven't had many of those blown coverages where it's just big, over-the-top, 50, 60 yards. I'm going to go under 40.5 Carr's longest pass of the day.
Yeah, they've only allowed 3 completions over 40 yards this year.
Yep.
And the longest of the season is 44. I think that is the Tyreek Hill play. And Steven Nelson allowed a 44-yard catch, too. So, I mean, this is what this team does.
Right.
their entire defense, for better or worse, is to limit these plays.
Yeah, and it's just a high number. I think it's inflated because this is what the Raiders do. They make big plays. But usually you look at these each week on FanDuel, and it's like 35, 36 is the longest pass for whatever quarterback we're talking about. It's Carr 40.5. I'll go under. All right, this one is a little bit of a risky one, but I'm going to risk it because I've already said the Eagles are going to win. How about this one? You get +230, Tucker, on the Eagles to score first and win. They haven't done well in this all year. In fact, they've been outscored by 39 points in the first half of games. I just feel like 10 days off, Sirianni getting killed all week for bad offense. I wouldn't be surprised if they score first in this game. I really think they're going to win. So, and they have a much better chance to win if they do score first. I'm going to go Eagles to score first and win +230.
Yeah, I mean, they've only scored first in one game, and that was the 49ers game,
right,
which they obviously lost 17-11.
It feels like they're due to score first.
Yeah, and you would hope, right? And this goes back to Nick Sirianni. We talked about a lot last year about, you know, the first 15 plays, scripting the first 15 plays, how early on in the game that's a real testament to the coaching staff, mm-hmm, and the game plan they put together. The proof is there, right? That they have struggled early in games. They've struggled to get off to good starts. You would hope having that extra layoff and having the 10 days can change something, but you're right. It is a huge risk because this is a team that has pretty much played behind the entire season.
All right, so I'll go Eagles to score first and win plus 230. How about DeVonta Smith over 4.5 receptions in the game? So last week, DeVonta was basically invisible. A lot of that was, I think Jalen didn't see him a couple times. They couldn't get in the ball a couple times. But the 2 weeks prior, he had 7 receptions, and he had 7 receptions. Like, he, for 2 weeks in a row, he was trending towards being a guy with volume catches in games. Last week, he went backwards. They got only 2 catches last week against the Bucs. 4.5 is kind of that middle ground. If the offense is more functional, I'm already ruling out Jalen Reagor. It just feels like he's disappearing from the offense. Quez is a guy that's going to probably catch a deep ball or two, but he's not. He's no volume guy. Ertz is out of the lineup, or off the team. Goddard's back, and he'll probably get his fair share of catches. But I'm just thinking, where are the catches going? All right, if Jalen completes, I don't know, 22, 23 passes on Sunday, whatever his number is going to be, I don't think it's a stretch to say at least 5 of those go to DeVonta Smith. Tucker, what do you think? DeVonta Smith over 4.5 receptions.
I think it depends on who he's matched up with on the field. The Raiders have lost a lot of cornerbacks to injuries. Both Trayvon Mullins and Damon Arnett, who's a first-round pick in 2020,
right,
I believe are both on the IR. But they do have Casey Hayward. I think he's first in the NFL in passer rating allowed when targeted. He's only allowed 4 catches once all season.
He's been good.
He's played really, really well. If he's matched up on DeVonta Smith, if they decide that DeVonta Smith can't be the guy that beats them, that could be an issue. But other than that, I mean, they have Nate Hobbs. They don't really have anybody else back there. So one of these guys are going to break out, whether it is DeVonta Smith. And DeVonta Smith moves around a lot. He could end up in the slot. But I would say either him or Quez Watkins probably has a big day.
All right, so I go DeVonta over 4.5 catches. And my final one, my final FanDuel Sportsbook prop that I like for Eagles Raiders on Sunday, it's under the same vein as the Carr under on his longest passing play. I'm going to go Derek Carr under 288.5 yards. That's a lot of yards. I know he's had some big games, but 288.5? I think the Eagles have the advantage with their defensive line against the Raiders' offensive line. I don't think Carr's getting a 290 or above. I'm going to go Carr under 288.5 yards. He had a big game last week against Denver, but his 2 games prior, he was trending down. He was more in the, low 200s against the Raiders, against the Chargers and the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, he threw for 435 against Baltimore, 382 right, against Pittsburgh, 386 against Miami, but then 196, 206, and bounced back with 341 yards against Denver. The other thing, if the Eagles aren't winning, if their offense struggles, it could be a game where he isn't really throwing the ball all that much. And we mentioned earlier, I mean, he's not really throwing the ball a ton. Only threw 27 passes last week.
It's deep shots.
To get those 341 yards. If the Eagles aren't allowing deep passes and are making sure that they aren't letting Henry Ruggs free, it could be a tough day for him.
I think it will be. I'm going to go under 288.5 pass yards. And also, to note, 2 of his first 3 games, he got overtime to pad those numbers. I don't know how much he added in overtime. It probably wasn't a significant amount, but it was some, right? So he padded his numbers with a couple of overtime games under 288. So here they are, my favorite FanDuel Sportsbook props for the Eagles and the Raiders game. Hurts, anytime touchdown score, plus 145. Derek Carr, longest pass, under 40.5 yards. Eagles to score first and win. You get plus 230 odds on that. DeVonta Smith over 4.5 receptions, and I'll go Derek Carr under 288.5 passing yards. All right, there are the props for FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, let's get to NFL picks and guess the takes for week number 7 in the NFL. All right, game number 1 here. I've been talking about it all night. I can't go away from it. Originally, earlier in this week, I took the Eagles plus 3, but for the picks, I'm taking the Eagles money line. I think they're going to win this game. Eagles get an extra couple days here to prepare, a couple extra days to rest. Meanwhile, the Raiders are coming off a divisional game on the road last week. And I just think there is something to our coach got fired, our coach resigned, let's rally together. And, you know, when Elliot was on with us a couple nights ago, he threw out a nugget that I just thought was really interesting, that the last, I think, four times there was a coaching change in the season, that team was 4-0 that immediate game after. And then so far, the team, that's those same teams were 0-3 the next week. This will be the fourth one with the Raiders. There's something to that where you kind of get up and you figure it out. Everyone's on their best, you know, plays their best, prepares the best that first week with the interim coach. And then reality sets in. And I just think it was much easier for the Raiders to prepare for the Broncos last week. They see them twice a year. They know that defense they were facing inside and out. They faced it for years. There was no ambiguity for the Raiders facing the Broncos. That was kind of an easy preparation week. Oh, like, we don't have a coach? We're playing the Broncos. We know them. It's a way different story preparing for the Eagles. Preparing for a quarterback they've never seen. Preparing for a coach they've never faced. I mean, it's just a lot of different, a lot of new. I think that hurts the Raiders this week. I think it all helps the Eagles. I'm expecting Nick Sirianni to not be as bad. Jalen Hurts to make a few more throws. And I think it's a good matchup for the Eagles defense. I'm going to go the Eagles money line to beat the Las Vegas Raiders coming up on Sunday. That's pick number one. Pick number two, we can call it the Jared Goff revenge game. Or we can just call it a line that's too big. The number is up to 16.5. The Rams are favored by 16.5 points over the Lions. I know the Lions are bad. They haven't won a game yet. But that's a big number. I mean, until last week when the Lions got beat up bad by the Bengals, they had pretty much been in most of these games. They had covered a lot of these games. They covered against the Niners. They almost beat the Ravens. They covered a couple weeks ago against the Minnesota Vikings. They had not embarrassed themselves in most of these games. And I look at 16.5 and I say, that's just way, way, way too many points. I think at some point the Lions will put a couple touchdowns in. Even if they lose this game 30-14, you cover the bet. I'm going to go the Lions plus 16.5. To cover against the Los Angeles Rams. It's just way too many points for this game. I'll go Lions plus 16.5. My next pick is going to be the Chiefs. I know we had Steve Fezzik on a little while ago for pregame.com, and he referenced that he wouldn't back the Chiefs. He wouldn't back them laying points, but I just think the Titans are a little overvalued. After a big Monday night win, and we see what Derrick Henry's doing, he's playing at a ridiculous, ridiculous level right now. But that Titans team's not very good. I don't buy that they're as good as their record of 4-2. The Chiefs will soon stop turning the ball over. I think it's a little fluky. Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes, and it's less than 5 points. And I don't think Tannehill's playing great football this year. I'm going to go the Chiefs on the road, minus the 4.5, to take care of business against the Tennessee Titans. And my last game here, I'm following the advice of Steve Fezzik of pregame.com, who joined us here. I didn't know how to play the Colts and the 49ers. I think the 49ers are going to win. It's a weird number where maybe it's kind of close and they don't cover it. But now that we found out there's going to be some sort of monsoon in the Bay Area and it's going to be crazy weather out there, I'm going to take the under 42.5. A low-scoring game. Carson Wentz, probably some turnovers. Jimmy Garoppolo, probably some turnovers. Both teams have pretty good defenses that could cause some problems. I'm going to go under 42.5. The Niners and the Colts. So the picks, under 42.5, Colts Niners, Chiefs minus 4.5, Lions plus 16.5, and the Eagles money line to win the game outright in Las Vegas. Those are the picks. Now let's guess the takes here for week number 7, what we're going to be hearing early next week. Take number 1, you know what it's going to be. The Eagles season is back on. Why not? This is what we do, right? They win a game, season's back on. They lose a game, throw in the towel, they stink, prepare for the draft. The Eagles season will suddenly be back on Monday after a win against the Raiders. Take number 2. And even though I didn't pick them to win, I think there's a good chance this guy has another ridiculous game. Has anyone looked at what Derrick Henry's rushing prop is, if you want to take that and bet it? It's over 125 yards. Like, normal for Derrick Henry now is like, 125 yards. He had 3 touchdowns last week. I mean, we've really never seen a running back for an extended period dominate the game like this. And I know Derrick Henry has a long way to go to put himself in the stratosphere of a Jim Brown or the stratosphere of a LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, but he doesn't have that far to go. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's doing things that most backs have never done, and he's not slowing down. So I think a take you're going to hear early next week, even if the Titans lose the game, is that Derrick Henry belongs in the MVP conversation with the quarterbacks. It's almost become like a, you don't even think about running backs in this conversation. I guess Todd Gurley, maybe in 2017, was the last one you kind of felt that he was being talked about in that way. But that's really it. I think Henry's on his way to that. As you kind of watch the quarterbacks this year, I don't know if there is a slam dunk. Lamar's in the mix. Kyler's in the mix. Mahomes, Herbert. I mean, you know, Rodgers, Allen. There's a bunch. But I don't know if one is set. Dak. I don't know if one is separated yet with the quarterbacks. You could give a quarterback's probably going to win. But if there's like six or seven quarterbacks that are in the mix, it might open up an avenue for Derrick Henry. I think you'll hear his name in the MVP talk early next week after another gigantic game against the Chiefs. And my third take, as we guess on what you're going to hear next week, is a name we talked about during the offseason, a name that was linked to the Eagles in the draft before they traded down. Look, Devontae Smith's had a nice rookie year so far. Jalen Waddle has some promise. There's some pretty decent rookie receivers. Has anyone watched Ja'Marr Chase? He is on a different level than the rest of these guys, including Devontae Smith. And after he has a big game in Baltimore on Sunday, I think you're going to start hearing that Ja'Marr Chase is one of the great rookie receivers ever. Like, I'm talking about the way Odell Beckham was talked about on his when he burst on the scene in 2014? And the way Randy Moss was talked about in 1998. Like, I think we're not far away from Ja'Marr Chase getting that kind of hype as a rookie wide receiver. He has been incredible so far. He's already, you know, one of the better receivers in the league. And I don't think he's going to stop this week. I think Ja'Marr Chase starts getting talked about as one of the great rookie receivers ever. So the takes you're going to hear next week, the Eagles season isn't over. Derrick Henry in the MVP discussion. And let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase as one of the great rookie receivers of all time. Those are the takes. Those are the picks. Those are the props for Week 7 in the NFL. This is going to be a great weekend. You were mentioning before the show, Tucker, all we have going on this weekend. We could have a pair of Game 7s in Major League Baseball. We have a close game going on right now in the ALCS, but it's a one-run game. So we very well could have an ALCS Game 7. We have a Game 6 tomorrow night, NLCS. Scherzer pitching to try to get the Dodgers to Game 7. All the football, there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, all the football, the Sixers play on Sunday night. The Flyers play in Las Vegas, or they play against Las Vegas. I'm not sure if they're in Las Vegas or not. I mean, Temple plays South Florida. There's a lot going on this weekend.
A ton. I'm trying to look if the Flyers are here or they're there. The Flyers play the Panthers at home tomorrow, and the Flyers play the Golden Knights on I think they play tomorrow. The Flyers are playing tomorrow. Okay, they're playing tomorrow tonight.
No, they don't play on Sunday at all. I don't know why I thought they did.
But that's okay. They play tomorrow. Panthers, Flyers
still
tomorrow.
Falls in the weekend.
That's it. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. It doesn't matter where the games take place on the weekend. That's what matters.
Just be happy we're talking hockey.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now how I'm going to. Are you ready for the first Eagles 4 o'clock game this year? That's the real question. Throws off the whole Sunday feel.
I prefer it. It's an odd week because we're missing three games. There's six teams on byes. It's a pretty light schedule. It'll be the lightest schedule of the season.
Yeah.
But I normally like the 4 o'clock game, right? You can watch NFL Red Zone. You can kind of pay attention to all the other games at one. And then when 4 o'clock rolls around, like, you can only watch the Eagles, right? Like, you're only missing one or two games.
And really, this week, you're not missing any. Do you know what the 4 o'clock games around the Eagles are? They're all the gigantic spreads. It's the Cardinals-Texans, which is 18.5 now, or 18. It's the Rams-Lions, and unless you're interested in the Jared Goff revenge thing, I mean, that game's miserable. And it's the Bucks and the Bears. Like, it's the 4 o'clock game, there's only one that probably will be competitive. That's the Eagles game. So you're not really missing anything.
No, unfortunately, a lot of West Coast teams are at home. Like, I guess Tampa Bay is the only East Coast team East Coast team at home that gets the 4 o'clock billing.
Right.
And I assume that'll be Fox's game of the week with Aikman and Buck. But yeah, I mean, you look around the schedule, it's not that great and you're not going to be missing much. So it'll be nice.
Yeah. And, you know, I do wonder how much I'm going to be paying attention during the pregame show on Sunday. I'm with Glenn Ross on Sunday. I mean, that's during the red zone window. Like, I'll have my computer up on the red zone. Like,
you'll be in here, won't you?
I will. Oh, I can just watch it on TV, you're saying?
Yeah, we have red zone here.
All right, well, then I'll be – well, here's the real question. Will I be paying attention to what Glenn and Ross are saying as I watch the red zone at 2 o'clock on Sunday?
Probably not.
No, I don't think there's any chance. I'll be watching all those games. It should be a fun –
Panthers, Giants, Jets, Patriots, Falcons, Dolphins, sign me up.
Did you realize, by the way, as we talk about the games for Sunday, what the Dolphins did with their bye? So when you go to London or you go, you know, to Europe to play a game, primarily you get the bye the next week. That's the way it's almost
correct.
Always – you can decline that bye, and they'll give it to you later on in the season. So the Miami Dolphins played last week. They lost to the Jaguars in London. They declined the bye. So not only are they coming off of no bye and a trip all the way across, they're playing the Falcons coming off their bye because they played the week before in London. That's a double whammy.
And things aren't necessarily going well in Miami right now. Like, I understand there's possibly some hubris from Brian Flores or whoever made that decision to decline the post-London bye. But, I mean, you've now lost five games in a row.
Yeah.
And they're biased until week 14.
I feel like there's a lot of hubris down in Miami. That team is full of themselves. Like, the front office, the coaching staff, they really think they're smarter than everyone. Well, their first-round pick belongs to the Eagles because they're dopes.
And they're 29th in points scored and 29th in points allowed.
Yeah, it feels like they are maybe 2 weeks away from a desperation move for Deshaun Watson because they realize, like, uh-oh, I'm going to get fired here.
It's just crazy because 2 years ago, I think Brian Flores was pretty well-liked and pretty – I don't know if you would have called him a top 10 coach, but people were really high on him.
Yeah.
The way he had that 6-10 team fighting at the end and winning football games. Now I wonder if he's coaching for his job for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this ultimately might not come off, and we'll end with this as a great comparison for Nick Sirianni or a great omen. But I was mentioning earlier that a lot of times young coaches can look overwhelmed and their teams get beat up early in seasons, and then they are much more competitive as the year goes on. I think the last 2 years had two of those. Brian Flores 2 years ago, his team was terrible in September, and they won a lot the last 2 months of the season. And last year was the Giants, right, with Joe Judge. And they still were 6-10, but I'd say the last month and a half, starting maybe with the Eagles game when they beat Wentz and the Eagles in November, they were better. Like, this happens. It happens a lot where rookie coaches, oftentimes with young quarterbacks, they have just a lot of choppiness in the beginning. And then the last month, 2 months, 2.5 months, it's better. And for the Eagles, we'll see when that starts. If it starts, I think it's going to start Sunday with a win over the Raiders. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk actually on Monday. I'm doing the Players Lounge with Ike on Monday. So actually, pregame Sunday, I'll talk to you guys then. And then the Players Lounge on Monday with Ike. You guys have a great night. We will talk next week right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.